You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, a restaurant on campus that's been on hiatus recently opened its doors again. Tyler will tell you about that and more in campus news.
And Larimer County will be getting some funding to lower wildfire risk and increased forest health. More on that with Lee in local news.
Then a well-known comedian with Saturday Night Live is making his way to Fort Collins soon. Find out who it is in Life and Events with Tyler.
Later on in the broadcast, aid workers in Gaza are feeling uncertain about their safety after a recent attack killed 7 workers. Learn more in National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Inside the Laurie Student Center, the Aspen Grill has reopened. The full-service restaurant welcomes both students and staff. The student-staffed restaurant sits on the northwestern part of the Laurie Student Center on the third level and features a new redesigned space and menu. The restaurant will be open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and reservations are not required but are recommended. The College of Agriculture at Colorado State University has been in the search of their new dean of the college. As the search has been going on, the college announced that there are now 4 finalists selected for who may be the newest dean. Interviews for the next dean will begin soon. And for the big story on campus happening right now is the Associated Students of Colorado State University elections. ASCSU is the student government on campus that makes large decisions for students with such responsibilities as student organization funding, student support, student representation, and more. Students can vote right now, and the voting will continue into tomorrow. Students can visit RamWeb to access voting and vote using the ranked choice voting system, which is ASCSU's first year implementing the new system. Ranked choice voting involves selecting the preferred order of candidates, so even if your top selection does not gain the majority votes, your vote still counts. But before students vote, they should know who their candidates are. KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media Corporation does not endorse or support any specific campaign. The Rocky Mountain Review aims to provide fair and equal coverage of all the candidates. This year, there are 3 candidates running in the ASCSU presidential elections. Claudia Paraiso is running for president along with running mate for Vice President Ava Alala, are running on the issue of lack of transparency with student fees, and the campaign is also looking to create a more welcoming atmosphere for students to come to ASCSU. Paraiso is the current speaker pro tempore for ASCSU. Current ASCSU sitting president Nick DeSalvo and current ASCSU chief of staff Braxton Dietz are running this year for president and vice president of ASCSU. DeSalvo is looking to be reelected as ASCSU president. DeSalvo's campaign focuses heavily on affordability for students on campus as he recently tackled the issue of the U+2 law here in Fort Collins. Another goal for the campaign is to increase student voter turnout as only about 14% of students voted in the last presidential election. And the third candidate on the ballot will be Georgia White and Leticia Madrigal-Tapia. White is the current ASCSU Director of Health, and the campaign looks towards diversity, inclusion, and equity on issues they are faced with. White has a goal in life of spreading love and happiness, but is also looking to take on affordability at Colorado State University and helping students who may need financial help. Students can also vote for their Speaker of the Senate at ASCSU. This year we'll see 2 candidates, Hayden Taylor and Enoch Menanti. Taylor sits as the International Affairs Committee Chair, while Menanti is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee Chair. Menanti is running to address the issue of lack of student engagement and communications between the student body and ASCSU, as well as transparency. Meanwhile, advocacy is the biggest issue Taylor is running on for Speaker of the Senate. Taylor also mentioned the issue of ASCSU being out of touch with the students at CSU, as well as issues of affordability at CSU. Voting is open now on RamWeb. You can read the full interviews with the candidates and learn more about their policies and plans on the Rocky Mountain Collegian's website. You can also watch the debates between the candidates on CTV's Channel 11's YouTube channel. That is all for your Colorado State University campus news. Coming up next is Lee with local news. Learn about a nearby city's anticipated struggle with budget shortages and much more.
My name is Lee Zimpel, and these are your local news updates covering Northern Colorado. Larimer County and other areas across Colorado want to reduce wildfire risk, and there's about $7 million set aside to try and do it. The money comes as a grant from the state's Forest Restoration and Wildfire Risk Mitigation Program. The grant will fund forest health projects across the state, and those projects hope to restore and protect over 3,700 acres of forest and communities. Governor Jared Polis announced yesterday the money would be awarded to over a dozen counties. Here in Larimer County, we have three projects that were awarded a combined total of over $1.2 million. Two projects are from the Larimer Conservation District, and those would focus on forest restoration in Diamond Creek and Elk Park. The third project is from the Larimer County Department of Natural Resources, and that one will focus on the Hermit Park Open Space and Estes Valley Forest Health. On top of Larimer County, some other counties include Boulder, Denver, and El Paso. Colorado State Forest Service Director Matt McCombs says the grants are important to helping Coloradans protect their communities and themselves. He says the need for these forest health projects is a big one across the state, especially as wildfire risk remains high this year. The Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control released a report to gauge how dangerous this wildfire season will look, and they say last year there was an uptick in the growth of new flammable vegetation around the state that could very well burn this year. Governor Polis says based on that outlook, the grants will hopefully lower that fire risk, and he says Colorado will continue working to stay a leader in wildfire prevention. This update was based on reporting from Denver 7. A Loveland police officer was arrested late last year in Fort Collins after he was accused of assault and child abuse. Now, as 53-year-old Wilbert Howard prepares to stand trial in August, he pleaded not guilty this week. Fort Collins police arrested Howard in November, and at first, they did not give much detail into why until his arrest records were released. Here's what court documents say happened. In early November, a school resource officer working at Fossil Ridge High School in Fort Collins was told that a student wanted to speak to him. The student told the school officer he got into a physical altercation that morning at home because he had gotten an F in one of his classes over a missed assignment and that Howard was yelling at him about it. According to records, the student said Howard threw his phone and that the student reacted by saying it was funny, which he says caused Howard to, quote, come at him. The student said Howard grabbed him by the throat and allegedly threw him and threatened he would kill him if he told anyone. Records also say the student claimed there was a history of abuse towards him and another person, but the other person's name was blocked out in Howard's arrest affidavit. The affidavit says the student's mother knew about the abuse, but that she didn't want to report it because Howard was the family's main breadwinner. After speaking to the school officer, the student was later sent to Poudre Valley Hospital for an evaluation. The affidavit says the nurse who did the exam reported the boy showed signs of multiple instances of injury and bruising, including that his lip was cut. When speaking to investigators, Howard denied he directly caused those injuries and that he grabbed the student by the collar of his shirt instead of his neck. The school officer did note that when the student was talking to him about the choking, he showed pictures of a long red mark across his neck, which he took minutes after the incident. Since his arrest, Howard was released without needing to pay bond, and he was placed on administrative leave from the Loveland Police Department. Howard says he plans to fight those charges and that he's been in the community for a long time, and he says he has no reason to leave it. For now, as of yesterday's hearing, where he pleaded not guilty, the judge made changes to a protection order between Howard and his kids, which will be checked up on in court next month. The contribution to this story comes from the Loveland Reporter-Herald. City leaders in Loveland are trying to figure out how to address a multi-million dollar shortfall in their general budget, and the Loveland Fire Rescue Authority is one of the many services at risk for seeing some cuts. The LFRA gets its funding mostly from two agencies, one of them being the City of Loveland itself, and the other being the Loveland Rural Fire Protection District, which covers part of Larimer County to the south and east. The bulk of the Fire Authority's funding, about 80% of it, comes from the city, and it's largely at risk because Loveland says they're expecting an up to $13 million drop in budget revenue for this year. That shortfall might be linked to a tax cut that residents voted to pass recently in November, which limited the sales tax on food for home consumption. The general budget Loveland officials are now concerned about relies on that sales tax, and without those taxes to fund it this year, day-to-day operations like fire and police protection, construction and maintenance, and other amenities like parks and libraries all could experience cuts. Loveland Fire Authority Chief Tim Sendelback says in the long term, the LFRA is hoping to find a more reliable way to fund itself with its own taxing authority. But in the short term, he says he's bracing for a financial battle. The Loveland City Council plans to meet again later this month to talk more about the budget shortfall and to gauge which services and programs will be getting funding priority. In the meantime, LFRA Board Chair Jeff Swante says funding the Fire Authority services is something city leaders should not have the power to debate. Swante says because their work is a matter of public safety, without funding for the right equipment or the right people, people could end up losing their lives. According to the Loveland Reporter-Herald, Acting City Manager Ron Wensing says that the Fire Authority is recognized as important, but still that no city service is out of the crosshairs for funding cuts. That's all for local news. Up next, find out which Saturday Night Live comedian and celebrity will be visiting Fort Collins next month when we come back from the break with Tyler for Life and Events.
Support comes from Chipper's Lanes at 830 North. Chipper's Lanes offers a variety of fun, including bowling, laser tag, live music, and more. They also offer a full restaurant and bar to elevate your night. For more information, visit chipperslanes.com. Again, that is chipperslanes.com.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Life and Events segment for today's show. Saturday Night Live star and comedian Pete Davidson will be visiting Fort Collins this May. The comedian will be making stops all over Colorado for his tour, but he will start first here in Fort Collins. Davidson will stop at five cities in Colorado, including Fort Collins, Boulder, Denver, and more. Davidson's show in Fort Collins will be inside the Lincoln Center on Thursday, May 16th. This story comes from 9 News Denver. Do you feel like Fort Collins is a clean city? According to a new study, Fort Collins has been ranked in the nation on its cleanliness. According to a study from LawnStarter, Fort Collins was actually the cleanest major city included on the list in Colorado. Fort Collins was ranked number 98 out of 150 of the dirtiest cities. Fort Collins was ranked cleaner than other Colorado cities such as Denver, Aurora, and Colorado Springs, which were all listed higher than Fort Collins on the dirtiest city list. An event here at Colorado State University started today and will continue into tomorrow in case you missed it today. The International Symposium began today, which is an event here on campus that aims to add global elements of teaching and learning into classrooms here at CSU. Both students and staff are allowed to attend the event. The event goes along with the university's Year of Democracy theme. You can go tomorrow if you did not attend today, as the event will be in the Laurie Student Center in room 312. The event starts at 9:30 a.m. and lasts until 5 p.m. As for some upcoming entertainment, you can catch some live music and live theatrical performances this week. Starting off tomorrow, you can hear George Clanton play live at the Aggie Theater. The electronic dance musician is popular in a genre known as vaporwave. The electronic dance musician will start at 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Aggie Theater. And you can catch the performance of Hansel and Gretel Thursday night. The performance will be directed by Tiffany Blake, featuring the University Orchestra. If you're interested in going, the performance will be Thursday night starting at 7:30 p.m., located in Griffin Concert Hall. Coming up next will be Lee with your national news stories. Find out more about the World Central Kitchen's operations in Gaza and more right after the break.
This is Adam,
Garrett,
Kevin,
and Sky from
A Novel Form. That was terrible.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and here are some of the latest stories in national news so far this week. Multiple humanitarian aid groups in Gaza stopped operations today after an Israeli airstrike killed seven World Central Kitchen workers. The nonprofit aid groups, including World Central Kitchen, say they are pulling back for the safety of their workers. The United Nations reports that over 200 humanitarian aid workers died since the war started in October. World Central Kitchen says that in Gaza, three of its vehicles were hit by the Israeli military shortly after loading up with food. The nonprofit says their vehicles and warehouse were clearly marked and that the Israeli military knew their movements and should have recognized them. Other nonprofits in Gaza also were making efforts to clearly mark themselves as aid in order to keep workers safe, and this recent hit on World Central Kitchen, despite those efforts, is steering workers away from Gaza. The Vice President of Global Health at Project Hope, Chris Skopek, says Israel needs to take accountability and that they need to give assurances that aid workers in Gaza are seen as legitimate and respected. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the strike was not intended, and he acknowledged it was on innocent people. Netanyahu says officials are working to make sure a strike like that does not happen again. But Netanyahu's assurance was not enough to stop multiple aid groups from pulling out of Gaza. One of the nonprofits, called Anera, was providing about 150,000 meals a day in Gaza, but they were one of the groups to announce today that they would be pausing its aid. And the International Medical Corps, which has one of the biggest field hospitals in Rafah, says they are rethinking their process and they plan to set up in another location. Dr. Zawar Ali, who's been running that field hospital in Rafah, says the killing of those aid workers is, quote, an immense blow to morale. He says the attack put him and other aid workers in a position of uncertainty about their own safety. This update comes from the Associated Press. Colorado now has the first statewide e-bike tax credit in the U.S. This means that now Colorado residents will get a big discount if they were to buy an electric bike from certain retailers. For reference, so that you can understand why the tax credit is a pretty big deal, on average, an e-bike can cost from $600 to a couple thousand dollars. The tax credit would knock off $450 from qualifying e-bike purchases, meaning it could make e-bikes a lot more affordable of an option of travel for many Coloradans. The tax credit was launched yesterday by Governor Jared Polis and the Colorado Energy Office. They say e-bikes are a good alternative to help Colorado reach its climate goals by reducing car pollution, and Polis says the tax credit will hopefully expand access to cleaner travel. In order to get that e-bike discount, there are some guidelines that have to be followed. The e-bike won't qualify if it is not new or if it's gas-powered. And when you buy a qualifying e-bike, you'll have to show proof that you're a Colorado resident. Not all of the places selling e-bikes are going to offer the credit, so if you want a list of the ones that are, you can find that online at energyoffice.colorado.gov. And lastly, the only LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs, called The Q, reopened over the weekend after its past location was the site of a mass shooting in 2022. The Q is operating under a new name. Club Q was the name of the original club, and the shooting that happened there marks Colorado's most recent mass murder. The club's co-owner, Michael Anderson, says when Club Q was closed, he and the LGBT community lost their only refuge in the city. He says that him and his business partners were focused on rebuilding and healing after the shooting, and he says they rebranded from the ground up with The Q. The process was not met without opposition, though. Anderson says some Colorado Springs locals that have biases against the LGBT population were still active and openly against the community as recently as the day before the club's opening. He says the struggle is still worth it in the end, and that him and others in the community are grateful for the club's return. Anderson told CBS News that the pain of the mass shooting is still carried by the LGBT community in the Springs, but he hopes the Q can be a space for healing and moving forward. That'll wrap up national news for now. We'll take a break, but when we come back, Tyler will give you a rundown on some updates in CSU and Colorado sports.
Hi, this is DJ Webbs, and you're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Colorado sports updates. CSU's own Maya Lesner has been named with a special title by the Mountain Western Conference. The CSU junior Lesner was named the Mountain Western Women's Female Athlete of the Year. The league announced this award on Wednesday. Lesner won the 2024 Women's Shot Put National Championship this year, and Lesner is the second Ram to win the award. The only other Ram to win the award was back in 2008, with Lexi Keller winning the award last. CSU football has been hard at work preparing for their season, which starts in the fall. The team has been in spring practice, starting up again for the 2024 season. Several key players will remain with the team, such as wide receiver Torrey Horton and linebacker Chase Wilson. The Rams' first fall game starts in Texas, as they will take on the Texas Longhorns on August 31st. But before that, they will have the CSU Green versus Gold spring game, which will be played on April 20th here in Fort Collins. And for baseball fans, the Colorado Rockies have started their season this week and will be playing their home opener in Denver soon. The Rockies traveled to Arizona to start off their season against the Diamondbacks and lost on opening day by a staggering 15 runs. The Rockies have gone on to lose the rest of their games since opening day, except for Saturday's game, where they won their first game of the year 9-4. The Rockies went on to travel to Chicago, where they will play again tonight. The Rockies play their first home game Friday, April 5th. Coming up now is Lee with your Fort Collins weather forecast. As we saw some rain here yesterday, now find out if that will continue or not throughout the week.
Since spring officially started, we've been very slowly seeing temperatures rise, but of course it's been a little all over the place. The next couple days will be more consistent though, so here's what you can expect. Tonight it'll be mostly clear out and fairly breezy. We could see some gusts reaching as high as 30 miles an hour as it cools to a low around 35 degrees. Wednesday, it'll start up sunny as it builds to a high of 69 degrees. Tonight's wind will carry over tomorrow, but it shouldn't feel quite as aggressive. Wednesday night will ride a low of 36 with a mostly clear sky. At this point, the wind should die down, with the strongest pushes feeling about half as strong as they were in the day. Thursday, it'll be another sunny one, and it'll be one of the warmest days we've seen in a while here in Fort Collins. We'll reach a high around 71 degrees. The afternoon should see a light and a scattered breeze. Thursday night, we'll see some clouds roll in, but so far, there's no sign of them bringing any rain. Temps will cool off to a low of 41. Information comes from the National Weather Service, and the rest of the week's forecast will be at the end of our next show, as always, which will start at 4 p.m. on Thursday. If you join us, we'll see you then.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We would also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.